morning and welcome to the March 2021 ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. This monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of global fertilizer prices and buy in bulk at the most opportune times. I'm your host today, Jake Nieder. And today we have with us BK Morris from CRU Publications, who will give us a fertilizer update, and Brian Henry from ADM Benson Quinn Commodities, who will give us an update on kind of the grain markets and what he's seeing. Brian, we're glad to have you back with us today. Do you mind giving us a little rundown on what you're seeing in the grain market?
Thanks for joining here, everyone. We've had a lot of volatility, a lot of opportunity facing us at various times. And a couple of USDA reports where they really kind of punted a little bit in terms of what they'd seen earlier and making any significant changes to what they'd seen prior. Currently, near-term price action in corn and beans, I believe it's a little bit susceptible to the downside here. And the reason being, we're making a transition, albeit a clunky transition, to South America providing supplies to the global market. This is what occurs every year. We've seen instances where Argentina's been cheaper than the U.S. from a corn standpoint. We've seen instances where Brazil has put on a huge book of soybeans, not uncommon, but they're doing so with their price action being a touch defensive. Part of how we got to these levels did have to do with the fact that we had concerns about Brazilian and Argentinian production. Yesterday's report, we had another confirmation from the USDA that some of the concern was merited. It looks like Brazil will once again be a record crop, potentially increasing a little bit yet from where we're at, somewhere up around a 133, 134 million metric ton crop. And from an Argentina standpoint, if that crop requires reductions later, we've yet to get to that point. You kind of right now have a little bit of an uninspired market. Granted, beans are above $14 and corn is, you know, has been up around $5.50. But you're looking at an uninspired market with an awful lot of speculative length in these markets. So it just feels like they're a little bit susceptible to the downside at this point. I still question whether beans or corn should invite any more demand given our tight supply situation, but I do feel like we could be in a spot where the market goes for a bit of a reset and you end up with some of the speculative length liquidated. What will be a phenomenon once we get to Monday is we're going to see speculative position limits increased for corn, beans, soy oil, meal, and Chicago wheat. And to give you an example of that, you've got currently a fund can own 33,000 corn. I believe that number come Monday, you will be allowed to own 57,000 plus contracts of corn. That isn't necessarily the type of situation where they're going to come in Monday and buy it. I'm not entirely sure what their appetite is right now, just given the fact that their current position hasn't really worked the best here over the course of the last couple of weeks. But that is a feature in the future that could certainly result in a lot more speculative money coming into these markets, both when they want to buy it as well as when they want to sell it. So it merits some consideration. The reason I don't believe that the markets are over has to do with the fact that we do have significantly tightened the amount of stocks we have for both corn and beans. And we are up against a situation here where we've got to ensure we get as many acres as both. We're kind of looking at 93, 94 million acres of corn, perhaps 90 million acres of beans. And we're looking at trend line, which is basically record yields. And we just don't see at that point where we're able to increase supplies of corn or beans significantly through the next marketing year. So what I'm seeing right now is tight supply situation. And yeah, the market could be a little softer in here in the near term. Ultimately, I think we'll get into a situation here where we do see more interest from the funds on the buy side. we do see the need to potentially put some risk premium into these markets. We're always going to be up against the idea that we have to ration demand, in my opinion. So from that standpoint, I see an awful lot of potential here yet. But, you know, the part that we never seem to see in time is perhaps that black swan event that takes place and ends up resulting in markets turning tail and just simply not being willing to offer the opportunity they once offered. And it's that reason why I believe that extending sales up in here is a good idea, with the intent of setting, lay off some exposure here. And as better opportunities develop, we continue to kind of take that frame of mind. I don't think I would chase weaker markets just to get sales on with the intent or belief that I had missed it at this point. Perhaps by the time we get out to June, July, that might be my attitude. But at this point, I just think markets need to be rewarded, but yet there are some opportunities still available. So with that, I will turn it back to Jake.
Well, thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll have some questions here in a few minutes at the end of the call. And in regards to those comments, appreciate the update on that. Let's turn our attention now to fertilizer. And BK, if you don't mind giving us a recap of what you've seen this week.
Good morning, everybody. This is BK with Fertilizer Week. I hope you're all doing well. Basically, the big story this week on both the U.S. and global markets is the price of urea. We've seen NOLA come up to $400. And that equates to about $388 in the Middle East. That puts the U.S. market as the place to sell by almost $20 over what is available to Middle East suppliers from anywhere else in the world. Now, I'm not assuming that some of the other markets won't come up, but at this point, we've basically seen push come to shove. And the U.S., the people who are the importers who currently have barges to sell, are holding out for that price because that's the price they know they can probably lock up new cargoes out of the Middle East. And it's probably safe to assume we are going to add further cargoes to the U.S. lineup. Well, how much do we need? Depending on how you do the arithmetic, I'm looking at it currently both in terms of how far below last year's arrivals we are, but also the increased amount of exports we've had. So you're arguably thin on the export side by about 500,000 tons. Even at this late date, that wouldn't necessarily be a reason for the world to panic, but what has made this a much sharper number is the shutdowns we've seen in the last few weeks. The Oklahoma plants, Cokes and CFs and et cetera, they are having trouble running now. Arguably, this is a bigger problem for UAN than it is for urea, but it's all adding up. And this is why what normally would be considered a not crisis amount of shortage is looking that the number can only go up. So in other words, if I'm wrong about the 500,000, it's wrong because we're probably short at least another 100,000 tons of urea production. And that number is likely to increase. Probably won't know exactly what that is until the next earnings reports come out from some of these folks. And we'll have to estimate how much the urea production was lost from Coke, but there it is. If you're wondering why 400, well, the market's reacting properly. We have to go externally. And the good news is there is still time, especially to meet that Corn Belt top and side dress demand for urea. This also sort of has a carryover effect on the UAN market to some extent. A lot of folks have been espousing the idea that UAN is cheap by UAN, and that's certainly reasonable. But it just goes to show you a lot of other folks who have commitments to supply distributors and retailers know that switching is not something that's likely to happen in any great volumes. So they have paid up for urea. So what does this mean to the price of UAM? If you do a straight arithmetic calculation of the over $10.60 a unit in the Corn Belt for UAN currently, at least basis of CF price list, in theory, you're looking at a price near to $300 for a barge of UAM. That doesn't really fly because at this point, if you were to buy UAN, you're facing demurrage. I don't need to tell anybody who's bought a barge of UAN that demurrage for that is no joke. And so by my calculation, we're really looking at about a $275 equivalent for a UAN barge right now. And that still leaves UAN as the less expensive option if you do indeed have a system that can switch over to using more UAN later on. Having said that, given this price increase in UAN, will we see a large increase in arrivals? In speaking to a couple of UAN importers who agreed with me on the barge cost being indicated about $275 right now, give or take, or that's what they think it should be, The likelihood that we're going to see a large number of increases to the U.S. Gulf, they felt, was relatively modest. Bringing UAN into NOLA is expensive. Most of the barges are spoken for. More likely scenario would be more UAN arriving on the East Coast, which arguably is a better fit in some ways for the Corn Belt, since that product can be loaded onto rail cars as they are available and begin the journey over to the Corn Belt a little quicker. So will we see more UAN coming to the U.S.? Absolutely. Will we make up for the needed nitrogen that we don't have on the urea side? It'll certainly help. But I think at the end of the day, the odds are more likely that we're going to make up for the needed urea with urea. We're going to see that those cargoes come here from elsewhere. Moving on to phosphates, the most interesting story in the marketplace right now is, at least as of late last week, it was still on track to arrive here in the first half of March, a cargo of Moroccan TSP. We were wondering if perhaps this was destined for Canada. We do not think that could realistically be the destination. In other words, that it would be barged and railed up through the border. And later on, we were told by multiple market sources that the importer has been offering these TSP barges from Morocco. And this sort of addresses the idea that some people have batted around for a while that, well, when prices in the U.S. get high enough, it would be worth it for an importer or for one of the Russian or Moroccan suppliers to do a deal to cover the import duty. And right now, even though the import duty has not been finalized, you would be expected to pay that duty if it is finalized. This resulted in offers of TSP at about $500 a ton per man a barge. To the best of our information, this has not flown. In the last week or two, or certainly the last couple of weeks, we've seen TSP from Lebanon and Israel sell at closer to $450, and a $50 premium appears to be too high. So I think this has provided a sort of a real-world check on the idea that when U.S. prices get high enough, we will necessarily attract cargoes from the Russian and Moroccan suppliers who are facing these potential duties. And as it stands right now, CRU certainly believes that the duties will be finalized as proposed. So whether that vessel actually stocks and discharges, it's possible they could switch it over to Brazil at the last minute. We'll see. But right now, nobody's interested in paying a $50 premium for triple. Meanwhile, the price of DAP ended last week around $525, $530, but these are April indications, not something you'd be able to receive probably in time for the spring. I don't know how late different areas will be applying their P&K, but that seems like a little late. On the MAP side, the indicated range is $555, $570. The top of the range, $570, is where there are a few MAP barges still left available, but that offer price has not been achieved, I don't believe, in recent days. On the potash side, you know, it's potash, not that much changes and it doesn't change fast. The market remains adequately supplied. The Canadian fill programs and sales, Nutrien had told customers that they are sold out through April. I'm not exactly sure what Mosaic's position is, but at this point, there doesn't appear to be a significant shortage, but there sure as heck isn't any length out there, and it's certainly a bit late to expect imports of potash from Russia or Belarus to make much difference. So looking out a little bit farther, up until about a month ago, potash had been looking bullish for a long way based on the international market. That all changed when BPC not only sold what some people felt was too cheap to India, but then again, they repeated that basically the same price, give or take, in sales to China. This accounts for much of their availability through Q2. It also meets a lot of the world's demand through the end of Q2. Therefore, we are a lot less bullish on potash on the international basis if in Q2 than we have been up until now. And looks like there was enough length that at least one major supplier decided they were going to sell. They felt this was as good as it was going to get. Canadian producers have made it clear they think it is too inexpensive. But from the international side, and of course, we're talking mostly standard grade potash here, not granular. Right now, it seems like they've come up against, I don't want to say a wall, but the market is down as far as it can go. I'll take a breath and certainly hang around. And thank you very much, Jake.
BK, thank you for that update. Interesting to note, in regards to the TSP and the Moroccans importing into the U.S., one of the things that we believe is we've talked to the Moroccan importers that is positioning more in regards to duties and potential further appeals than it is about the current market. Current market on TSP is more in the 450s. I believe that what we'll learn as we go forward here is that that's a one-and-done type situation. Do I think that we could see the return of Russian imports to the U.S. or Moroccan imports to the U.S.? Yes, most likely, but after the commission final settles and after we have all the duties known. Tomorrow's the date when the commission will make a decision and we'll know whether they affirm the duties and or reject the duties. And then on the 25th of March is when we'll know the final duties that are accepted by the Department of Commerce. So a lot of things going on there that will continue to help either support or weaken the phosphate structure. And so our recommendation right now, obviously for this spring season, the die's cast. It's almost irrelevant what happens here in the next couple of weeks because the tons that are here. And you're not going to see a lot of additional length come available in the marketplace. Very difficult to get cargoes here and in position in time. So our opinion is the pricing for the spring season is what you're going to pay. Do we recommend looking at fill for phosphates yet? No, we do not. There's not enough clarity in that forward point of view. Now, while saying that, I think it's very well worth noting that we're seeing a significant amount of strength in the international market, which is typical for this time of year. Usually Brazil returns to buying, and in a few weeks, worst case a month or month and a half, we'll have India return to buying in a rather large way as well. When that happens, we'll continue to see the market remain firm. Right now, the Western Hemisphere is going to be busy with demand, and so we're going to see tons trying to come from the East into the West until we have some of that Indian buying coming back to the marketplace. DAP prices we expect to soften a little bit as we get into the tail end of second quarter into third quarter. MAP prices, we don't see the weakening until we get into fourth quarter. That's kind of our current view now today. With that being said, given the scarcity in supply, there's been no backwardation in the market. And so it's hard to say, hey, now's the time to price in that deferred value on phosphates. Potash, BK's talking points are interesting. As well noted, the counterpoint is what you hear from the producers that they're going to hold. Their strategy is to starve off the Chinese market, to let the prices go higher. They're all talking about major increases into Brazil. So it's a little bit of the opposite side of what BK has reported to you. So what it does is creates a little bit of doubt about potash and what we see coming. So from our perspective and what we've picked up from the few potash producers we work with and speak with, we expect the prices to remain firm into the fill period for the fall. So our recommendation is to get your fall potash booked. We believe there's going to be a continued effort to push prices forward and that the fill program that rolls out is going to be more in the form of book now or price goes up as opposed to down 20, price up $20, $40 later after booking. So that is our opinion now today. So we're recommending a 30% coverage for your fall needs on potash. As we look forward on urea, this market we expect to be volatile. We expect urea to continue to drive up in price as we run into some of this tightness that we've talked about. We're in the same camp as BK, that there's a decent amount of tons still needed to import into the U.S. As prices rise on the front, demand pushes to the back. We'll have people looking at top dressing versus early application. We've seen ammonia values increase rather substantially. We've seen UAN values increase substantially. Bottom line, the nitrogen complex went under pressure. The price catalyst for this was basically the outages that were occurring at all the nitrogen plants during the cold weather, or the perceived outages that occurred during that period. So some of it is talked about more than it actually did happen and occur. But nonetheless, we did see some plants shut in during that time and some tightening of supply. All that being said, and the demand basically opening up from the Delta to the north, we have farming going on in North Dakota all the way down in the Delta. You start to drain the system at a quicker pace than what we can keep up with. So that's our belief for why spring values on nitrogen hold. There isn't a good backwardation built into the system yet. And so on the nitrogen values, we recommend holding. There'll come a point in time, probably when you're in the tractor planting, we'll start putting out recommendations about looking at your forward booking for nitrogen. But today, our recommendation is to go focus on your planting. And when that point in time comes, we see backwardation in the market, we'll definitely help share that and put that word out with our customers like you. So that covers the major ones. That would sum up most of it. Now, I do want to address one thing, which would be ammonium sulfate. That one typically gets pulled up by nitrogen values, and it's moved up already some $50 a ton from the lows. It's got further price upside as we get into the buying cycle. It's also had some downtime that's occurred at the various different plants, particularly the ones down in Texas, as they had that bad weather outage. So all of that being said, look for pressure on that price and for prices to continue to move forward in the short term. Definitely not something worth talking about ammonium sulfate for next year, but in the short term, we do expect price moves to continue to occur, very solid international market and a tight supply. Overall, we wish you the best luck in the spring season and wanted to share these recommendations with you. We've kind of positioned ourselves accordingly as well. If you'd like to learn more about ADM Fertilizer, go to ADMAdvantage.com and thank you for listening. At this point in time, we're going to let you unmute your line and ask any questions you might have for myself, BK, or Brian Henry. So if anyone would like to ask a question, feel free to stay on the line and ask a question. If not, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I've been hearing that there's several million acres of soybeans that are very poor quality, such that they might abandon them in Brazil. Is there any truth to that, and what would be the impact if that were the case?
Yeah, we continue to see pictures, comments made on them regarding the poor quality, too much moisture, perhaps some other diseases through the growing year. We believe there will be some abandonment based on that factor, as well as potentially some seed harvested at a quality so poor that they're going to have a difficult time finding methods to blend that in and be able to use it at all. However, at the end of the day, in terms of what people believe about overall production, the feeling right now is that this is fairly insignificant compared to the grand scheme. Without some type of shift in weather in northern areas, it could certainly become a bigger issue. But right now, it is being factored in to the estimates that people put out. When you start looking at estimates of, call it a 132 to 134-ish size of crop. But to your point, sir, in some areas, it is still developing.
Thank you for the question, caller. Appreciate it. Anyone else would like to ask a question?
More or less potash availability into the fall. We're in the upper Midwest Great Lakes region. Are we still talking a shortage into like Q4 for fall application?
I think shortage would be a strong word. Tightness, yes, I do anticipate tightness going forward. You do have some competition for potash internationally. To BK's point, China booked with, I believe it was BPC, and that was a bit of a more aggressive price than what the market was expecting. So right now the market's on hold in a bit of a standoff, and they're requiring higher prices. If they don't cave, then we believe that adds support and inventory tightness to potash. So that's something we're watching, and that's why we're not more all in on the recommendation of buying and booking in fall potash. But the one thing that we've got to remember when we talk about the potash market is that it is an oligopoly, and they have a lot more pricing power than what the normal, you know, what a nitrogen product would have. And so that's why our recommendation is to have at least 30% coverage. Tightness or shortness, not there yet. A lot of it will depend on how we drain the system this spring and what type of resupply we have in the summer. So a little too soon to tell on that one, but something we'll keep an eye on and continue to talk to as we learn anything. So thank you for your question, caller. Any other questions?
Any idea of exactly how much fall fertilizer was put out and if that's going to have impact on prices? I mean, is that kind of still figured into the market, or have you guys thought of that? Because I've seen fertilizer put on up here that I haven't seen put on in like 5 years on hay fields and things in my area. I just wonder if the market's accounting for that.
Yeah, that's a good question. We have that internal debate quite frequently amongst our own sales team. We had a good application in 2020 and then a good fall application as well as we rounded out 2020. What we're, as an individual team, guessing at right now, and I will say this as a guess, is we think that the application rates were up around 10%. From fall to spring. That's why we had a lot of inventory tightness throughout the marketplace. And in our opinion, that is factored in because that does drive down your inventories, which does drive up the rebuy, the resupply. So I don't anticipate people running into something where they would expect to have an additional 10% of demand this spring and be surprised by that not coming at us. From our perspective, we were able to tell, feel, and touch the fact that we moved more potash and phosphate because we had a nice weather window across the whole system. So we look at it and say, yeah, we probably pulled some sales forward that we would normally have last year. Now, that's, again, how we looked at it. I can't speak for the entire industry, but given the talking points by some of the other suppliers in the marketplace, I believe that's been factored in. BK, do you have a different opinion on that?
Every report I got from the Corn Belt during the fall application run was that movement was up. Jake, you mentioned something about 10% within, I believe, your system. I had individual distributors, independent players, tell me their movement was up 20% versus the previous fall and an equivalent increase versus most years. First, the opportunity was there, so a lot of people took advantage of it. And we've had some poor application runs in some of the previous seasons because of weather. So it certainly was needed, and obviously growers knew that. They knew their own fields. So, no, I absolutely agree with the anecdotal reports. Certainly agree with the data that Jake has reported to you.
Thanks, BK. Appreciate that. And thank you, caller, for the question. Well, we do appreciate everyone joining us, and we hope you have a very safe spring season. And again, we thank you for your business, and this will be a wrap for our call today. Thank you all.